Good day, everybody. This is Dan Young. Welcome to this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Today, Becca and I tackle the sometimes confusing and way misunderstood popular topic surrounding the ketogenic diet. We're going to do our best to share the specifics and our own personal experience as we navigate through this, and in the process, provide several resources and references. Please be sure and visit us at the Country Doctor Nutritional Center Facebook page every Wednesday, 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time for Total Wellness Radio, the live stream, which then ends up being the Total Wellness Radio podcast. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day and tuning in, and enjoy this episode of Total Wellness Radio.
Country Doctors Wellness Wednesday. You cannot touch the desk
We set the camera up just a little slightly different so it doesn't look like it's looking up at us all the time. And in doing so and trying to position it better, I can't bounce around like I normally do. And
no. Well, you can, but you have to stay away from the desk.
Yeah. Okay. So hopefully all of you are having an amazing, amazing week. Happy 2021. This is our second or third Wednesday of 2021.
Our third already.
Wellness Wednesday. Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Time flies when you're having fun. Yeah. Hey, Kevin. Hey, Shell. Nice to have you guys join us.
We have a fun topic today.
We do.
We're talking
all things
keto.
It's one of my favorite topics.
Is it your favorite? Because you're pretty close to keto.
I mean, you pretty much eat. Here's the thing.
We should start off by saying there's different ways to eat keto. There's not just one way. So we should start there. Because I think that there's a little bit of a myth of like, it's just high fat and that's it. That's all you
just gotta, eat steak and steak and bacon and lard and cheese. And that's it. That's all you eat.
You gotta be careful.
MCT oil and electrolytes down your throat and you'll be fine.
There's a little more to it. So before we dive in, I always feel like we should start off by kind of sharing. First of all, we're not recommending going on keto. We're not recommending not going on keto. We're just sharing information, encouraging you to research and evaluate on
your own.
Yeah. But I do always like to kind of start off by sharing, because I dealt with this as a weight loss coach. There are certain individuals that should not really be doing a keto diet. Mm. So can we start off before we dive in on maybe the individuals that should not be doing a keto diet?
Well, I mean, I've got a couple of folks that started it a few weeks ago. He's loving it already. He's lost 6 pounds. He's less joint aches, sleeping better, energy's up. He's just now really hit full ketosis. And what that means is that his fat, the liver's burning fat as fuel rather than carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. And you're getting the body, the metabolism to burn those fat and fat reserves as fuel. And that's really what it means. A lot of people confuse it with ketoacidosis, which is a metabolic dysfunction found in the kidneys. And there's some confusion about whether or not this type of diet contributes to that. And my experience is that it doesn't. But people that don't have a gallbladder, people that already have faulty digestion, people that have struggle with eating meat, protein metabolism, fat metabolism, mm-hmm. Those are folks that are going to have to really be careful with utilizing this in most cases.
Yes.
So we caution that.
You know,
the reason I like this topic is because I only took a couple of pearls from it, right? And applied it consistently. And I think with any nutrition plan, with any diet plan that you're trying to develop new habits with, it's always key to be consistent. Not perfect, but consistent.
Yes.
And for me, I just cut out the breads. I just literally cut out oats,
sometimes
wheat, corn.
Sometimes that one thing can make a big difference.
That one thing for me, and that's really, you know, highly suggested on a ketogenic diet to mm-hmm. avoid these processed sugars, avoid the grains, things that are going to be empty carbs mm-hmm. That really tax the liver, tax the pancreas, make digestion, you know, the enzyme banks in the body are really taxed to try and keep up with that type of digestion. Mm-hmm. And so I did a couple of changes there and cut out potatoes. Have I done it perfectly? No. I started May of 2018. Mm-hmm. You know, took off 26 pounds, kept 23 of it off for that whole time now. And I'm back doing some things to, get the other three off and even more. So I'm excited about that. I haven't slept better on any other program that I followed consistently. Mm-hmm. So I think that's worth mentioning. I think sleep for me was a real big deal. Mm-hmm. I sleep much better and wake up less achy. Mm-hmm. But I've talked to a lot of people over the years who have, you know, used keto as their approach and have done really well with it. The challenge with it, there's lots of variations, like the dirty keto and that you only eat, you know, the leg of a pig every day, and you smother it in butter only, and then you squirt some MCT oil on there with a big cup of coffee, right? And then with some heavy cream.
Yeah.
And that's keto.
And maybe throw in some cheese.
There's no veggies, you know, to it and things like that. I just had a nice big salad with my meat and vegetables today, but just no bread and no empty carbs. You know, that's what I had for lunch.
Well, so. I think the key thing here is there's a lot of things that you can eat to get into that ketosis.
Yes.
To get your body into ketosis. That don't necessarily, that it doesn't have to be the high fat and that's all you're, it's not like, it's sometimes people think if I don't have my fat at a certain point, like if I don't have 70, 80% fat, then I'm not going to get into ketosis.
That's not entirely
ketosis
true.
Ketosis is really more about you're restricting these processed foods, these carbs, these, right? And so it's there, and that's why I say there's like, I think there's at least four different ways of doing, we don't have time to get into all of them today, but the point being that there's not just the one way that we maybe see the get the most attention on mainstream or social media or things like that. So it's important to know that. And we like to really get on here and talk about this because we don't want people diving in and just eating these fats and these meats and not like having any vegetables and cutting out all fruits and cutting out things that are nutritiously very good for your body, because you can still have a lot of fruits and vegetables and get into ketosis.
Yes.
It's about which ones you choose and strategic, right? And so, you know, it kind of, I always say it's kind of like the, I don't like right versus wrong.
Yeah.
But from a health standpoint, what's best for your health, we know.
Good is, and best. And, right?
Yeah. Is as many plant-based foods as possible.
Sure.
And I know I've said this before, I have to say it again, but we get asked a lot, like, which is the best, like, what's the best diet that I should go on, or what's the best meal plan, right? Is it paleo? Is it Whole30? Is it keto? Is it vegan? Is it this? Is it that?
Yep.
But what is the, and or is it this diet or that diet, or right? But what is the, what does all of those have in common is they're getting you to eat less junk, less carbs, and more plant-based foods.
Yep.
So if you make that your focus, you get into ketosis if you're smart about it, right?
Absolutely.
If you eat the right foods.
I'm curious. Tanya's on here. I wonder if Tanya, has Tanya ever tried that? Has
I don't she know. Ever tried Tanya, have you ever done keto?
Please mention that, Tanya, if you have, if you if you've ever tried the ketogenic diet. I'm just curious. Or a variation.
Well, part of the reason I wanted to start off this with who shouldn't do it is because I've had clients with gallbladder concerns or gallbladders removed turning around trying to do keto and then not getting the results that they wanted because they're still, right, because they're kind of, they're already dealing with this thing internally that's not working for them, and then they're revving up their fat to this 70 to 80% mark. Their body's having a hard time breaking down and processing fat. That's why the that's, right, essentially the gallbladder's job.
Stores
and
the
so,
bile, absolutely.
And so they, you know, get a gallbladder removed and then go do it 70, 80% fat. It's not going to go the way we would ideally like it to go. And this is also why you should be working with a coach or a practitioner in your area so that you can get a personalized plan.
Yeah.
Because everyone's different.
Everyone's different. I keep my, I do around 70, 75%. I do a 20%.
Fats.
You know, fats. I do a 20% protein. But I look at not just meat protein too. I like the plants. I like the greens. I like the mixed vegetables. I like the colors of the rainbow. Okay. There's even some ketogenic bars that I have. They're called dang good bars that are like, you know, if you need something, a little quick snack, you know, those are wonderful. I love the Havarti and the Gouda cheese, little individual wrapped, you know, 1 ounce cheese snacks. They don't seem, and you'll know if you're eating something you shouldn't, because you'll always have sinus drainage, congestion, phlegm, sniffing. And so those don't seem to ever bother me that way. I always pay attention to see if I'm overdoing something. But the biggest thing for me was just getting rid of the processed carbs, getting that garbage, that the morning cereals and the mucus filled, you know, cow's milk and the dairy that's not really good for us.
Breads.
It's proven it's breads, rolls, pastries, muffins, you know, all the baked goods, all the stuff that tastes really good. You know, one of the things that's my only original comment that I've ever come up with in 19 years of being in this practice, I came up with in the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's the notion that we have two brains. We have two brains, okay? One between our ears makes decisions. The one above our belly button dictates performance. The problem is there's a mouth between the two. And this one will make decisions that sacrifice performance versus what the mouth wants, right? And we have to, those are the habits we have
That's
to break.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
We have to break those habits. Everything starts right here in the decisions we make versus what I want versus what the body really needs to perform. And so we have to listen to that. Pay attention when you eat certain foods, if you have body aches or, you know, if you're congested or phlegmy or all these other things that we know from a practice standpoint is indicators that you're eating things your body can't tolerate. Listen to that, pay attention, make the adjustments. And oh, by the way, cut out the refined carbohydrates, maybe even the potatoes like what I did, and just do that one thing, but do it consistently. And watch how your body performs. Mm-hmm. Tanya says, yes, she has. Okay. So how did you do with it? I mean, did you get some results or did it make a difference? Just kind of let us know in the comments if you can.
Yeah, and I would say anybody that's done keto and hasn't gotten results, it's usually because internally something else is going on that needs mm-hmm. to be addressed. If the body, and I know we've covered this a lot, but somebody new has to hear this, right? The body, if it's not internally performing the way it was designed to, and we go in with this picture perfect weight loss plan, right? My diet's on point. Mm-hmm. I got this exercise plan, da da da, whatever. You lay out this perfect plan
yep.
that works for virtually every person, right? But then yeah. this person does that plan. If they internally have these yep. other things going on, it can really stand in the way, even if you're eating all of the right foods and you're getting this physical exercise and done. So if you've had that, then let's talk about who's closest to you that can, you know, get an evaluation on you, work with you from a natural mm-hmm. health standpoint to address whatever's
yeah.
keeping you from your goal.
Yeah, because we all have the internal yeast issue that we might have to deal with from time to time, be it diet or stress induced. And one of the basic models that we always have shared with most people in the clinic has been the 80-20 rule, the six mm-hmm. vegetables, two fruits, a starch, and a protein. Some people, that needs to be even modified, right? But that's a great place to start. And prior to that is to start doing food logs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I love doing food logs. I do my food logs every day. I can show you today's if you want. I love doing food logs. It's when I'm doing them, it makes it easier for me to help my clients mm. identify what's missing. And again, this is something I really learned from Becca some years ago is the food log is not designed to tell me what you shouldn't be doing. You're an adult. You already know what you shouldn't be doing for the most part, okay? What it's designed to reveal for us is what's missing. Mm-hmm. Where are we missing certain opportunities to nourish the body better throughout the day, to hydrate better, to make different choices or add things in to see how our body responds? We got some comments going on here.
Yes, can we share this, please?
Yeah.
I want to say thank you so much, Tanya, for your honesty. She
yeah.
says, I am just not as faithful to good eating habits as I should be.
Yeah.
Like, bravo to you for owning that, not
yep.
only for
yep.
yourself, because even just admitting that to ourselves can be hard,
yep.
but then sharing it on here so that others can benefit from that. Thank you mm-hmm. so much, Tanya. Christy says, I've done keto, but with all the processed junk, that's usually how keto is kind of presented. So I'm trying again with the good, healthy stuff. Was losing weight. No, it's hard because it...
Yep.
Was losing weight, but still hurting. So I'm excited to get all the benefits this time
around. Oh, right on.
Love it.
Congratulations.
Awesome.
Good.
Awesome.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
Good.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Yes, I would encourage, I'm a big fan, like people ask me, what do you follow? What do you do to me? And I'm
yeah.
like, I literally take things from all of them that I like.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, I don't really pay attention to my weight. I've stopped getting on the scale. In fact, I haven't been on the scale in 3 or 4 weeks. I stopped doing certain things and mm-hmm. all I do is measure how I feel.
Yep.
that's it.
How am I performing?
So if I eat something and an hour later I'm tired and groggy or my head gets foggy, I immediately go, oh, what was the last thing I ate? Mm-hmm. Or what did I eat in the last? Or if I didn't sleep well, then I look at what did I, okay, let's trace back my whole day, right? Yep. And so, and then my goal is just as many plant-based foods as possible. So if I can start my day off with a smoothie, if I can, if I don't get a big salad for lunch, then I have a big salad at dinner. If I, so there's certain, I focus more on my habits.
Yep, habits are key.
As many whole foods as possible. I do still eat potatoes, but I do it once a week.
Yeah.
Right? And so I have these little things that I've kind of worked of like, what works for me? Yep. What works, right? And so, and then I just really pay attention to how I feel. That's how I'm doing it, right? Mm-hmm. You resonate a lot with food logs because the, you have it documented and,
well,
you,
and
you
I
know,
think,
and you can reference that, right? We all have our way. So what works for me might not work for someone else.
Do I need to do food logs to maintain my habits? Not anymore. Now, 2 years ago when I really got dedicated and serious and just committed to it, that I was going to cut those two foods out and I'm going to keep these, you know, make those habits. Yes. Do I have to now? No. But I feel that working with other clients, working with other people, when they're struggling with food logs, I can now say and share with and show them, look, I understand the challenges that you face. It's a challenge for me too. If you don't like doing it on the piece of paper that we provide for food logs, there's apps that you can use to track that. I mean, I know you've got a couple of favorites. I've got a couple that I like to use. I got one I use almost exclusively to monitor you know, the food intake.
It?
It's called Keto.
Oh, okay.
It's actually, it's a little blue. It's a little blue app.
Can we look at some of the things you eat? Can we talk?
Yeah,
or can we talk
we can
about
try it.
Like some of the healthy fats you get?
Hard to get that up. There it is, right there. It's hard to get that. Where are we at? Too close? What? I can't. I'm not getting, there it is.
It's
white letters
blue.
with a blue icon.
Yep.
Okay. And so I like that for me because it has a scanning capability. So if I'm in a store and I'm curious about something and I want to know something, I just click a button, I hit the barcode, and it gives me a quick readout. Is this kind of falling in line with your commitments? Doesn't mean the food's bad. It means am I eating the way I want to eat?
Yes.
And the way I want to perform and the way I know I'll perform best.
Yes.
That's why I use that stuff. I don't use it because I let this app dictate to me what I'm not going to eat. Or what I am going to eat. I let my habits dictate that. And we all have to work on those habits. We all have blind spots. We all have neglects. And working together, we can identify, oh, I wasn't aware of that. There's a blind spot about, you know, how I perform better. Okay, now I'm aware I can implement that. Start working on it consistently. And yeah, I know I probably drink too much coffee and I need more water. And so I'm going to figure out a way to make that happen. And I'll start, you know, stop neglecting myself in certain ways as well. All of these things bring about the habits that we need to develop. Everything we do is habits. Everything we talk about, how we drive, how we dress, walk, talk. It's all habits, right? And so we can, the cool thing is develop over a period of 2, 3, 6 months, whatever, we can develop some amazing health and dietary habits.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's cool. It's fun.
So what are, well, first I want to share this and then some questions for you.
Shelley?
Thank you for sharing.
She started
keto last January until April. You know, lockdown started.
Sure.
And now up 50 pounds. I want to say, first of all, I know that sting. It's painful. Whether it's 5 pounds or 50 pounds, it's a sting that is, it's painful to process.
Yeah.
Broken ankle. Oh, hope you heal soon.
Yeah, I was just giving your information from a friend. Oh, wow. Okay, great.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Please
we
reach out
to
us.
Helping.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, this reminds me of something you and I said last year.
Okay.
When you don't know what to do, do what you can do.
Yes.
You know, everybody was and to some degree has remained blindsided by certain shifts or transitions or whatever that is that's driving that, okay? The negative experiences that we've all went through in the last year. The bottom line is when they're faced with that, we all live one day at a time, number one. And number two, we can ask ourselves, what can I do? And then put energy into that. What can I do to improve my ability to move, even though I'm stuck at home? What can I do to, when the weather's halfway decent, go walk around the block 3 times and breathe deeply? what can I do? Can I watch a yoga video at home instead of going to the class that might be shut down at the yoga studio itself in person? What can I do? I mean, that those three words are probably the most empowering. What can I do forward, excuse me, that I can exercise for myself?
Yeah. And you can do a lot even while the ankle is healing, right? Yep. Like you said, yoga. I think there's like, look up videos for chair yoga or sitting yoga.
Yeah,
where like
there you
can actually do certain poses where you're not putting pressure on the ankle, right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing I just want to share here is that when my weight loss journey started, the first 50 pounds, I did not step foot in a gym, nor did I do any rigorous exercise. Yep. I strictly, because I had spent before that 6 months with a personal trainer a couple of years before and lost 0 pounds. I got a little less squishy, but that's always my story. I got a little less squishy, but my weight didn't change. Then when I really did decide to make a change, I was in a position where I literally couldn't go to the gym. And so I just focused on my food until I could add in exercise. So my first 50 pounds lost, zero, like I did a little bit of walking, but my point there is that there's still a lot you can do while the ankle is healing. So let's focus on that.
Do what we can do.
Yeah.
You bet. That's fun.
It's about getting back up and getting back towards working towards whatever it is we want, right?
Yep.
We all get knocked down. We all get these challenges. We all get dealt these difficult cards, right? And so good for you for being, thank you for sharing, thank you for being honest.
Absolutely.
There's a lot you can do. Let's focus on that.
Yep. Good stuff.
So
What's next?
I don't always like to focus on the specifics. Like I don't want to send people off into, high fat 75%, moderate protein 15 to 20%.
Right.
These are kind of some of the ranges for keto.
Yep.
I will say if you're new to keto and you want to try this, just focus on the whole food aspect and maybe use a keto app just to kind of gauge where you're at.
Right. Get an idea.
So you can see what foods would be ideal to replace.
It'll help you with the goal side of it, right? Like for me, I wanted to lose weight, right? I'm still in the process. I want to get down to 195, right? I think that's where I'm going to feel my best at. And my highest was 236. That was my highest weight, was 236, okay?
So a lot of sharing today.
I know. And I was not proud of it. I didn't feel good. I was very much chubby in here, much more than I am now, thank God. And I was noticing, I don't like the way I feel. I don't like the way I'm performing. Mm-hmm. And so I did it for me. Okay. And so one of the things I do like about it is it says like, because of my age, right. And my height, weight, what's your goal? And it kind of helps plug that in for you. Mm-hmm. And then it gives you kind of a target thing. It took me 4 months, to get to the point where I was back, down the weight I wanted to be. And I've got, another 15, 20 pounds, and I'm going to go. I'm going to...
Go for you.
I'm at 213 right now, and I plan on getting down another... I'm going to drop another 20 pounds. That's going to be... it's always the last bit that you need to lose, because I've incorporated the gym again now, too, and because I'm working on... I'm getting a little tone and kind of muscle again, so it seems like
less
it's
squishy.
Coming off... Less squishy? It seems like it's coming off.
Yeah.
Like it's harder to get that off.
Yeah.
Because almost like you can gain a pound or two, but I've been going to the gym, so it's like, okay, well, that's muscle, though, and it always weighs more than fat, and so just relax. And it's going to be a little longer, I think, plus I'm an older metabolism type, so, it takes a little more for my metabolism to burn these reserves. But I know it'll happen. I know it'll happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
By this time next year, I'll be a skinnier me again, even more.
So will you share some of your vegetables or healthy fats, some of the things that are on
logs
that aren't like the dirty keto of what people typically receive in regards to keto?
Yep. One of the things I've noticed about the ketogenic approach is you definitely need to get some kind of an electrolyte supplement, which, by the way, makes smoothies taste better. So we use Ultra Replenisher. That's the brand that I like to use. A little stick of that in some water every day. It tastes really good, keeps the electrolytes balanced. I love coconut oil, I love MCT oil. I have been known to overdo that, though. And when you overdo it, you'll know it because you have really loose, aggressive bowels, okay? And so one tablespoon of that oil in a cup of coffee with a tab of butter, Kerrygold butter, kind of a bulletproof coffee type thing, kind of primes the pump in the morning for me. And so that's one of the things that I use there. Are you? Yeah.
This is where we all have to find what works for each of us.
Yes. Yeah. Two tablespoons. Okay. For me, too much coconut oil. And then I always do, during the middle of the day, I'll do a hamburger patty. I like avocado. I get a minimum of a half avocado every day. Every day.
I love
right
avocados.
As rain.
Yep.
Every day. I love them. And again, if you're a kind of a texture person and you put that half avocado in your smoothies, it makes them very creamy. Mm. So it gives them a malted kind of texture if you're looking for, to improve the texture.
There's like a whole art, too, to getting like the avocado perfectly ripe. I feel like we could do a whole show on that.
I think you could do a whole show on that. I'm lazy. I'm a guy. I grab it. I slice it in half. I throw it in there. It could be brown. It could be green.
I'm mastering this of like timing it out and how to make sure it's the perfect. Anyway, so.
Yep. Yep. And then I love romaine lettuce. Not too much of a fan for kale. Like I like arugulas. I like the spinach leaf. Obviously the darker green leafy cruciferous. And then I like having a little bit of artichoke. I'll do some olive, I'll do cucumber, sliced onions, love onions, right? I think they're just so good health-wise, and they don't change. I mean, these are healthy, whole, dark green, leafy, colors of the rainbow kind of salads. I do them almost every day.
Broccoli's
I do
a
like
good one.
Broccoli's a good one. I love cauliflower. I like the carrots. I like
cabbage
is good. Again, thinking colors of the rainbow. The more color, the better. It doesn't have to be the size of a bale of hay, right? It's just like lots and lots of color to give the body a diverse nutrition.
Yeah, I would say as you're starting out, if you think all vegetables are good, maybe just cut out white potatoes.
Yeah, that's what I did.
I think virtually any other vegetable.
And tomatoes, because tomatoes make me ache a little bit.
Now the ground, the root vegetables are a little higher, like carrots are a little higher in right this, and beets mm-hmm. are a little higher in that, and da-da-da, right? The root vegetables are a little higher. Mm-hmm. But to keep it really simple, if you just did all vegetables and you replaced processed foods
yep.
with even some of those root vegetables, mm-hmm. you're still going to be in a way better place probably than you were before.
Tell people how to achieve a net carb, how to figure out net carbs. Because that's a big one on that thing, and it's not as hard as some people, I think, maybe
net
they
carbs
think it is.
Are, I haven't done this in a while. So net carbs are where you take your regular carbs and you subtract fiber,
yep.
and you get your net carbs.
Yep.
So if you're eating a processed food is a good example, because a lot of the times they won't have fiber in there. Mm-hmm. If you look at the label on a processed food and it's got 20, 30 grams of carbs and then no fiber,
yeah.
Then it's
that's your
like
net carb.
Straight, it's going to drive your blood sugar right up,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Whereas if you look at some of these vegetables, or some fruits that maybe are higher on the carb side, but if they have 10 carbs and 7 grams of fiber,
yep.
then you really only have
three carbs to worry about.
That you're really worrying about spiking yep. that blood sugar.
Yep.
So if you see net carbs, or you just go ahead and look and see, okay, if this has carbs, mm-hmm. What am I looking at from a fiber standpoint?
Yep.
And the app, does the app kind of help convert that
it
for you?
It does convert it for me.
Okay,
yeah.
cool.
Because I'm lazy. I like things real simple, and it's a very effective app for doing that.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is, once I've scanned things in there, and you kind of get into this groove or pattern of eating, mm-hmm. It saves my favorites and the frequently eaten meals, and it makes it easier to track. And again, it just it's all about developing great, great habits. Hey, Rick, thanks for joining us. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Just developing the new habits, using these tools,
yes.
not as a crutch and not as punishment, but to develop the habit, right? Have a little goal attached. For me, was the weight loss and better movement, back in the gym a little more consistently, loving it, okay? And developing the new habits. That's really
yes.
what it's for.
Yes. That's so. Kind of my focus on this year, too. It's just my habits.
Stay hydrated.
Habits. Yes, stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated, my friends.
Important. You also can get keto strips You can buy keto strips either on like Amazon, if you want to order them online on Amazon. I don't like to plug Amazon, so maybe not Amazon.
Right.
Walgreens, you can go up, that you have to ask the pharmacy, but you can just, anybody can buy
it. Look this gentleman up, Dominic DiAgostino. He is my all-time favorite. He is recognized as one of the world leading authorities on the ketogenic diet. His focus as a scientist, he's an associate professor at Southern Florida University. He did all the trials with the Navy SEALs on why they were getting seizures when they would use the rebreathers. He discovered it was a metabolic dysfunction, too much oxygen to the brain based on carbohydrate metabolism being faulty. He put them all on ketogenic diet, and amazingly, and this was 12, 14 years ago, maybe even 16 years ago now, he is like the leading authority. My humble opinion, he's everywhere. Look up Dominic DiAgostino, go to his website, check out what he has as far as, there's even keto beer out there, right? And to answer your question, Rick, a keto strip is something that you can actually check for ketones in the urine to make sure you're in ketosis, that your body's burning that. Mm-hmm. Initially, that will be very helpful, but there's people that, have, like for me, after a while, that doesn't show up.
Right.
It does
kind of go
away. It's
really more
in the
beginning.
In the beginning stages.
I feel like it's more about helping show you in the beginning when you're actually, if you're actually getting into ketosis. And then what I used to do is have clients use it to gauge what would take them out of ketosis.
Oh, so in that's interesting.
So in the beginning of their first couple of months on a program, they would do it every single day. So what would happen is they'd get themselves into ketosis and they'd get to a certain point, and then the next day they'd be lighter or out. And they go, why did I get out? Well, then if they did one strip every day, because you can buy a bottle of like 100 strips for $10 or something.
Right.
Then we could go, okay, well, you did something in the last 24 hours that took you out of ketosis. So it was a way for them to manage on their own. If they ate something that wasn't on plan, then they could see it physically on the strip. I don't even have to have the you don't need me to tell you that a candy bar isn't going to help your program.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need me to tell you that. But
the three slices of banana bread might have did it.
Yeah, but it was a really cool way for them to be empowered.
Yep.
And also to track their progress in a physical way of where their body's at in that. And it doesn't mean if you get the strips and you do this, what I want to say is don't like be golden to try and get to the darkest shade on day two or week one even.
Yeah.
Because then you can get in your head about it of like, well, I don't have the darkest, so I'm not really burning. And then all of a sudden you're keeping your body from burning because your mind is going crazy with it. So don't use it in a way where you let the negative self-talk. Use it in a way where you're empowered and go, oh, wow, look, okay, I'm getting into ketosis.
Yep.
Now, if I come out of it, then I know in the last 24 hours it was something I did or ate.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Love it.
Usually something you ate.
It is always, usually for me, something.
Electrolytes are important.
Yep. I love Ultra Replenisher. And also if you go to Dominic DiAgostino's, if you look up anything, just trust me on this, because I'm just such a huge fan. I've listened to all of his podcasts on Joe Rogan, his own podcast, all the different podcasts that he's done around the country, all over the world. He is one of the leading authorities on doing this right. And he's been doing it long term. So, anyways,
Scott says, pick on my banana nut bread.
Sorry,
sure,
Scott.
For sure.
I won't. He's one of the best. I love him. Yeah. If you go on YouTube, there's an article, there's a 10-minute video on there of him talking about the benefits of this approach with cancer patients, even. It's a TED Talk. And if you really want to explore this more and kind of get into a rhythm with it, try it for 90 days to 6 months for yourself personally. Get your experience, listen to your body, develop those new habits. By all means, he's worth the investigation of time and effort to listen to a couple of his podcasts, read some of his articles. He's an amazing guy. He works for the Institute of Human and Mechanical Cognitive Function, IHMCA or something like it, or F. He's again a professor at South Florida College in Southern Florida. He's into neuroscience based pharmacology. Mm-hmm. His intellect on this stuff goes super super far. So on this topic, so he's a really good speaker, and he presents it in a way that doesn't, it doesn't overwhelm me like a science talk, you know? Mm-hmm. He doesn't speak in science-ese. He really speaks in layman's terms on how you can benefit from this approach. So, that's right, Rick. Healthy 60, baby.
He says, how does it affect a healthy 60-year-old man?
Oh, it's going to make you better. It'll make you better.
As long as you are adding in the vegetables.
And not just
cutting
eating,
out the processed or the carbs or whatever that looks
6
like.
6 pounds of bacon with a gallon of MCT oil and coffee every day, and that's all you're doing. That's not a good approach. So.
Yeah, we got to think about nourishing our bodies.
Yeah.
That's where we've gotten so far. We've gotten too far from this. Electrolytes, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to talk about the importance of them? Or if you get... Because it is kind of important to make sure your electrolytes are
that's
balanced.
That's what helps keeps you out of the acid side of things. It helps to keep that balance in the system.
Okay.
Especially and then also look at maybe some super enzymes or something like that, like something we would carry. Factor those in at one a meal. The couple that started the ketogenic diet about 4 weeks ago are doing well, but then they just had blood work done and they're all this fat. And cholesterol, all these markers are off the charts, and they were a little concerned about it, you know, because in this country we suffer from numberosis, and so the numbers kind of bothered them.
Yeah.
And so when we brought them in, tested them, and we explored what they'd been doing, and these areas, and of course they're going to be, it's going to tax the liver, it's going to tax the pancreas a little bit, can for some people. So I would say, do the right supplementation. Electrolytes is one of them. Some people like the exogenous ketones, which are little packets. They're packets of nutrients that are designed to kind of jumpstart the liver a little bit in burning fat as fuel. Those things can be beneficial for some people. It really helps to avoid what some of you may have heard about as the keto flu, where you kind of go through a bit of a detox from weaning off all the processed junk sugars. The body goes through a little bit of a detox reaction for some, not all. I didn't experience that much.
Mm-hmm.
I had a headache for like maybe 2 days, and that was it. But I was using like MCT oil, Kerrygold butter. I was using bulletproof coffee as an approach. I did use some exogenous ketones to kind of jumpstart the liver in its pursuit of burning fat as fuel. When you think about why this is such an attractive way to eat,
yeah.
When you burn carbs, the byproduct is inflammation. Okay, we get inflamed, we can, and we overwhelm the liver, it spits out glycogen, which gets stored as fat, okay, when we overdo a high-carb diet. And most people in this country, standard American diet, abbreviated as SAD, right, that's why it's called SAD. It doesn't have the nutrient-rich foods to it, the dark green leafies and things like that, whole foods.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start burning fat as fuel, the gas engine is like carbohydrates. It wears down pretty quickly. But then you get a car that's been fitted to burn propane. Okay, it burns extremely clean. There's very little, if any, residual byproduct to the environment that it's burning. And it goes much, much further. Okay, diesel engines are kind of that way too.
But switching from one,
you're switching from one fuel to another. And that's
where
the body can struggle a little bit. But I think it's for, as far as a clean burning fuel in the human body, it's much better to burn fat for fuel than it is to burn sugar as
for
fuel.
Sure.
Because the byproducts and how your body performs and feels, for most people, not all, but for most people, they do see a major benefit from it. So
I would just add in there, if you are wanting to try keto or something similar to keto and you've never done this before, what I used to do with clients is we'd take them gradually, just like you do here, right? You take them gradually with their food logs.
Step by step.
And I would say, okay, in week one, I don't want you to make dramatic changes to what you're eating.
Yep.
But I want you to just focus on the carbs or the processed foods, right? And let's cut that down to one at each meal if you're eating more than that.
Yep.
If you're only eating one at each meal, then go down to two at each meal, right? And so what we're doing here is kind of doing this gradual process. So like if your body's used to eating this many carbs in a day and we're trying to get you to here, can we take you from here to here before we go here? And then it's a little smoother transition on the body. It doesn't knock you out for 2 to 3 days or whatever some people have had keto flu and it's like literally knocked them out for 2 or 3 days yep. because they do this huge 180 yep. and their body gets just really overwhelmed with this dramatic change.
Yep.
So if you want to do something like this, aim in the next week to restrict yourself to, you know, only one carb at each meal and nothing after 5 o'clock.
Yep.
And that's your goal for the next week. And then the following week, you can adjust that even more and get closer to where it is you want to be.
Yep.
But let's avoid this 180. I've done it several times. It's not fun on the body.
Yeah. You really pay a price for it.
You pay a price for it.
Metabolic detox is a real thing, and it's not fun.
Yeah. All right. Anything else we want to share on...
I think that we've really touched on, I mean, this is one of those topics you could kind of go on, and we've got yeah. subtopics along with that. But I think that mm-hmm. you get the idea, right? I mean, there's a good way, there's a healthy way of doing these. Listen to your body, you know, plug into the experts. Dominic D'Agostino, again, my favorite. He's just my favorite yeah. On this topic. And we have also, we've come across pets, right? The Pet Sanctuary
yeah,
website.
Keto, I think it's Keto Pet. .org.
Yeah, I think you're
I
right.
I could be wrong on that. I think it's ketopet.org.
Ketopet or Keto Sanctuary, one or the other.
Yeah, it's called...
Pet Sanctuary, something like that.
Yeah. But I've used it. It's a really great website. We've shared it on here before as
yep.
well. I used
yep.
it to
for pets.
Figure out how much to feed my pets when we switch from the commercial dog food to prepping their dog food.
Mm-hmm.
It has recommendations on there as far as, you know, making sure you're getting them fats, making sure you're getting them what they nutritionally need.
Yep.
Because it's not fake bagged food.
Right.
I know that was hard for me to change.
Yeah.
But once it all came together, I'm like, oh, well,
yep.
that makes sense.
Yep.
Right? Also, the dog food industry is not regulated, so they can put whatever they want in there.
Yeah.
We'll just leave that too.
Well, thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you. Thank
yes.
you for the comments.
Yes.
Look forward to hearing from you again in the future.
Next week we're talking thyroid.
We are. Thyroid health.
Yes.
That's a biggie. We live in the goiter belt mm-hmm. of America. We'll explain what that means next week's 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time Wellness Wednesday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. Have an awesome week.
Take care. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. And for more information, be sure and catch us on Facebook Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Mountain Time at the Country Doctor Nutritional Center Facebook page. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in.